morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining Lizzie and I and being here this morning. The sun was bright and shiny this morning. I can tell that the longest day of the year is coming soon. And I want to wish good morning to Lizzie. Good morning.
Good morning. Man, did you get some rain yesterday? Because what in the heck?
We got some rain. Okay, so June, the average monthly total for rainfall is 7 inches, 7.35 inches. And so I think some people already this month have gotten that.
I mean, I know probably not yesterday with us, but it seemed like it. We got,
1 to 2 inches.
In less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. So you had a little bit of flooding?
Yes. We had quite a bit of flooding. So, yeah. And I'm just like going, okay, this is not fun.
I can understand that, too, because, you know, you're going to be celebrating your 30th anniversary with Sheck. So happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yep. We're going to be doing a hoedown tonight. So
we're excited. In the mud.
Yeah, we're excited that, you know, you and Tony are going to join us. So thank you for that.
Oh, no, we're looking forward to it. It's just going to be great. So Peterson's Nursery at 9:30. So I want you to say this fast 5 times. Proper pruning program at Peterson's Nursery, 9:30 a.m.
There you go.
Say that quick 5 times. And so, yes, we're getting finally some rain. We're back in the rainy season. It's hot. It's muggy. It's going to rain this afternoon. And we're going to do this through hopefully September, October. And that's going to be good. We want to say gracias, El Niño, because that is, the reason we have the rainfall. North Florida, you have a 40 to 70% chance of rain every day this week except Thursday. Temperature is going to be normal for June, low 90s and high 70s at night. That's normal. Central Florida is going to be a week to stay home from the beach and attractions. Rain every day. Or you can go to the attraction, you can go to the beach, but you got to stay out just for parts of the day. You want to make sure you're not getting a chance to experience those lightning and thunder. So rain chances are a little bit higher for Central Florida, 50 to 70. Again, low 90s and 70s at night. I am going to love the rain. I'm just going to. My landscapers are not going to love the rain. You shouldn't mow wet grass. And some, you know, these guys only have a set amount of days to get hundreds of homes, thousands, millions of homes mowed. And this is going to damp down those goals. And so more of mowing wet grass in a bit. I'm going to talk about that. West Coast, Naples. You're the fortunate one on the West Coast. You're going to get rain. Tampa and Venice, no rain this week until the weekend. But that's okay. You've had some rain, so it's good. The ground doesn't need it every day. Your turf doesn't need it every day. Only 1.5 inches. Okay, so if you get rain one day a week, that is plenty. Don't worry about it. One of the things I'm hearing, I'm working with an HOA on what's wrong with their turf. And a lot of it is there's the homeowners are going, we need to be watering more.
And no, what?
They're not. Yeah, they're saying we need water more. It's not. That's actually the cause of it. So all the way down to the East Coast, Jacksonville, Ormond Beach, Melbourne, lots of rain every day this week. And again, our aquifer needs it. We are so blessed. We need it. We've had a severe drought for 2 years. We need this rainfall. South Florida and Fort Lauderdale, rain's you're gonna have it at the beginning of the week. Then on the weekend, you're not have any. It's gonna be a lovely weekend for you. Port St. Lucie and Miami, you're gonna be blessed with rain every day this week. So this hour, I would love your gardening questions. I'm gonna be talking a little bit about FIFA and turf, and also too about mowing wet grass. You're gonna want to get this, and if you don't know whether you should mow or not, I'm going to be telling you. You can call us 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Remember, if you're texting us, to provide your name or your nom de plume and the city you're in, so I can answer you easier. Father's Day is June 21st, so you're going to want to make sure that you go to your favorite nursery. And that's Quality Green Specialist Nursery or Peterson's in Lakeland. a Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand has just the plants, shrubs, and trees that your dad is going to love. So we want you to let them know that you listen to them on Better Lawns and Gardens and thank them for their sponsorship.
Yes.
Then in our second hour, I have had a lot of interesting questions about mosquito bits and dunks. Lizzie, haven't we?
Oh, definitely. And I got mine out. I'm so glad that I got mine out this last week. So, and it's working very well. It's doing its job.
Wonderful. So, Heather Stickney, she's the National Sales Director for Summit Responsible Solutions. She's going to join us in the second hour, and she's going to explain the science of foamy mosquito bits.
And don't be scared off, because she does a good job of explaining the science side of it, so you aren't just going...
It's not
going
to be boring.
Is it over? Is it?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be boring at all. And so June, vegetables, you can still be planting. You can still be planting amaranth and boniato, calabaza, chayote, all the Caribbean, South American vegetables there. Not only that, but you can be planting cherry tomatoes. Season for regular tomatoes and is over with, but cherry tomatoes and Everglade tomatoes will continue to produce all summer long. You're going to want to, grow those, and they taste delicious. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Taking your gardening questions early this morning, so if you'd like to give a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'd like to say good morning to Dom and Ira, and just lots of great listeners out there. We have wonderful listeners. So one of our best listeners, wonderful listeners, is Bev from Tallahassee, and she's calling in. Good morning, Bev. It's so good to hear from you.
Good morning. It's early for me to get going, so if I stumble over my words, you'll just have to forgive me. But
we will. We will.
It's really, really dry up here. I had to laugh when you were talking about all the rain we were going to get. I was on the Weather Channel. It's like, nope, not up here.
Well, a little bit more further to the east, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, that area is going to get it. But hopefully you'll get some, and that's hopefully. Did you get any last week at all?
A couple of hours one morning, I want to say maybe Monday morning, we had sort of a drizzle, not really a rain, but anything we get, I'll take it.
I'm sure. How have you been?
Pretty well, pretty well. Been trying to get out there early to water. Everything's so dry. I have to completely fill my bird baths every morning. That's how quickly the water dehydrates out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watering my 35-year-old ginkgo tree. That it's so dry. You know, a couple months back, I looked at it and I thought, you're not supposed to be turning brown yet.
No, no.
It's really dry.
How tall is it?
It's about 30 feet tall.
I bet it's beautiful.
It's especially in the fall when it's changes gold, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. So for those of you who don't know, ginkgo trees have these beautiful fan-shaped, circular fan-shaped leaves that are just gorgeous. They're an Asian tree, and they turn beautiful yellow in the fall.
Yeah, golden. I've taken pictures of it. Maybe I'll send some pictures to Lizzie for you.
I would love that.
This year, it's supposed to be the oldest known tree, and it's so dry up here this summer. I'm thinking they must have found it in a low spot.
Anyway, they must have had water that during that time.
I'm watering a 30-foot tree because it's just it's in bad shape. It's desperate.
I can understand.
I had a couple of pruning questions.
Okay,
so I planted my oregano out in my flower garden, and it quit growing tall. It's just spread out. You know, it's like this 3-foot dome out in the middle of the garden. And, of course, it's flowering. So do I just snip off the flowers or do I want to cut it back further?
Well, are you going to use it? So if you're not going to use it as an herb, I would just snip it all the way back.
Okay.
Okay, but if you're going to take it for herbs or, you know, kind of like freeze it or dry it out, I would cut the flowers off and then just wait a few days and then cut your, you know, your herbs.
Yeah, I've got plenty of oregano. It's a very, I don't want to say voracious, but it's,
well, it is. It is. It's a very, it loves to grow, so it's...
Isn't it in the mint family?
It is.
Okay, so my second question regards my amaryllis,
yes,
which I've had in the ground for at least 25 years. And I dug some up to give to my neighbor, and she put them in the garage until last fall. Mine have quit blooming, and hers are blooming like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that you're supposed to occasionally, like, put them in hibernation. So my question is, when do I dig them up? I mean, they don't have flowers. They didn't flower this year. So do I dig them up while there's still green stuff before it gets too hot?
Well, I don't think they need hibernation, okay? So not here in Florida. You just put them in the ground. What I think they need, though, is dividing up. So when you divide it up, that batch for your neighbor or your friend, then that encouraged the growing, the flowering.
Okay, so is now a good time to do that, or should I wait till it's cooler?
No, I would go ahead and do it right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
That's
right.
Thank you so much for calling in. I think of you often, so.
Well, and I usually am slow to get going, but I just had to get going with my watering, so I thought I'd call first.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have a question about moss roses, growing them, and that I planted some seeds in a pot.
Okay.
And they came up in a few weeks and started blooming all colors of flowers.
How wonderful.
And I was wondering how long do they last what should I plant them and that type of thing.
And
what it takes to, you know. For best for them.
Wonderful. Well, you've had really good luck. They're an easy plant to grow. They take full sun, don't need a lot of water, but they actually love that sun. They're really wonderful succulents. Don't need a lot of water because they will kind of rot if they get too much water. But they will grow. They're considered a, you know, annual up north, but they're considered perennial here in Florida.
They are. And do they spread then?
They do. Well, they're not going to spread by seeds. They're going to spread. Each one of those leaves will grow a new one.
Okay. Oh, that succulent leaf.
Yeah, the succulent leaves. So if you take a little clipping of it and plant it, it will start to grow its own shrub. So and there are some seeds that will germinate, but it's not really the easiest way to propagate it. So they do lovely.
You just take the leaves. And that naturally, when it drops its leaves, they will grow then too.
Yes, they will.
Oh, good. Good. I know how to plant it now. Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I enjoy them, and they're such beautiful colors.
Yeah, they are. Surprised me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, Jerry. Let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Good morning, Pinky. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. Teresa, I am going to take a road trip for 3 weeks, leaving tomorrow.
Okay.
I have the most beautiful Jubilee watermelon out on my yard growing. That is probably 35 to 40 pounds. and it's 115 days. I don't know if you count the days from, you know, the size of the fruit when it starts. But anyhow, the stripes are dark green and light green. When I turned it over, though, first the tendril and the stem are not brown. I do have it on a plate to prevent insects, but when I turn it over, it's still white. My fear is if I leave it with the summer rains coming,
it's going to rot
by the time I get back. But I fail terribly at the thump test. I cannot. I'm not that smart.
Well,
can I do?
Well, I can tell you, if you have a cool spot in your garage or someplace where you can put it, go ahead and take it off now. and leave it or take it with you on your vacation. Are you driving or flying?
I am.
If you're driving, yeah. Take it with you and enjoy it.
Okay. So just, and should I cut into it right away, or do I know they don't ripen? Do I let it sweeten? What do I do?
So I would, you know, it just depends when you planted it. Okay. Cause it's from the day of planting is when, you know, the fruit, it should take about 6 to 8 weeks and it should be ripened. As the bottom of it is white, that kind of indicates that it's ripe now. Okay, so the color on the bottom is lighter than the top. And if it's really dark green on top, 35 to 40 pounds, that's pretty ripe.
Okay, I will update you when I get back.
Sure. Oh, I bet it's going to be great. What variety is it?
It's a Jubilee.
Jubilee, thank you. You did say that. Jubilee, thank you so much. That's great. I can't wait to hear about your trip.
Thank you, and I love you. Take our calls. Appreciate you.
Bye. You're welcome, Pinky. Bye-bye. And, so that's a really, it sounds delicious already.
I was going to offer to go over to her house and cut it and eat it while she was on her vacation, but I mean,
you would take care of it. Don't know what happened.
Teresa just totally foiled my plans. Thanks.
Well, I want you to know that as we're watching the FIFA games, mm-hmm. FIFA, my husband's cringing. He's a soccer fan. FIFA, the golf course owners and lawn maintenance people for golf courses and lawn maintenance people throughout the state of Florida are just amazed at the turf that's growing in all these stadiums. So they have to, in 2024, the opener in Atlanta, that the Copa America, they had a really hard issue with the living grass performing consistently. So now there are going to be 16 venues for the soccer game, and they have to make sure the grass is the same in all 16 stadiums. So the videos that they've had already, the showing that they're really scrutinizing because it could affect the game. Senegal training in New Jersey and an England team warming up in Tampa, Florida. So they are really, 5 years ago, they asked agronomists to create a science-based system so the ball and the player's feet meet the ground consistently at every venue. I mean, this is going to send lawn maintenance people really very crazy.
Mm-hmm.
8 of the 16 stadiums normally use artificial turf. 5 have roofs that reduce sunlight, and the venues are not designed for natural grass, and all of these stadiums are using natural grass. They must add a systems that a grass stadium should have, so including irrigation, drainage, and in some cases, FIFA standard vacuum ventilation below the surface. So when you're looking at these stadiums and looking at the turf, the stadium, the grass, the natural grass, has ventilation underneath. So their goal is simple. They had to ensure that every field in the 104-match, 48-team tournament meets FIFA's elite standards. The surface must drain heavy rain without drying out and stay fast without becoming dangerously hard. And then some stadiums had to be renovated so they could accommodate natural live grass. So Dallas lacked enough field level width. Kansas City had to remove 10 rows of seats. And Philadelphia removed their corner seating. So when you're looking at it, they have chosen the right grass for each venue. They use light, sod, and reinforcement to keep the field stable. Crews are compensating in the stadiums that have limited sunlight with artificial grow lights. Dallas has 18 ceiling-mounted rigs that lower, open over the grass, and fold away before matches. Other stadiums use 9 to 12 rig-wheeled rigs to have the artificial turf. I mean, artificial lighting. I'm sorry. Artificial lighting is early. Portable sod. The 2-inch thick sod is grown over plastic so it can be moved into stadiums without rooting in place. And then synthetic fibers are stitched into the surface acting like rebar. And it is reinforced, helping the field from breaking loose when players cut sharply or goalkeepers churn up that 6-yard box. So it's all amazing. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to read more about the turf that is being grown and used in the FIFA games, you can go to Better Lawns and Gardens, and I have the article there that talks with the agronomists and what they're having to do and what they're dealing with. So if you're in, guys, we get a lot of guys. More guys listen to the show than women.
That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're interested in the soccer game, go and read the Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page, and it'll be right there. Let's go to William in Melbourne. Good morning, William. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm from the north, and I'm blind, and I came down here, and I have a hard time growing in the ground.
Okay.
I'm not used to the heat, so I want to grow in containers. 5-gallon buckets, maybe? I thought I heard you talk about that a while back.
Sure.
Now, what do I do as far as drainage and drilling holes in them? And what type of plants could I put in them?
Well, you know, if you depends on how many 5-gallon buckets you have. You want to drill holes in the bottom. I would say three holes about an inch to 2 inches wide. And then you want to fill it with soil. Potting mix soil is all right to use. You don't want to use dirt from the ground in your buckets. You want to go ahead and use light, airy, organic material in your soil. So a soilless mix, a potting mix will be fine. And you can fill it up with that. Now, plants, you can grow vegetables. You can grow annual flowers. You can grow perennials. So if you wanted to grow vegetables, it would depend on the size of vegetables, William, how many you can put per bucket. Okay. And so for like carrots, you could put 3 to 5 carrots in a 5-gallon bucket. You can put 1 to 2 lettuces, depending on what size lettuce they get. You know, the little small butter crunch ones, they're going to be a little bit tinier. You could possibly get 3. Annuals, you can plant zinnias and marigolds, and you can put pentas, every kind of flower you can put in into a 5-gallon bucket. And then also two shrubs.
Do I need to order them from a nursery, or I can't go shopping? I don't drive, and I don't have internet or anything like that.
Okay. But if you call any of the box stores, they have 5-gallon buckets, and you just call them and order it and have them delivered, and that'll be they'll deliver them to you.
I'm talking about the plants, not
the buckets. Plants. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. No, I wasn't sure either, so my bad.
Okay. And so the plants, call the nurseries and tell them what you want. I would say, I have 4 5-gallon buckets. I'd like to plant perennials in them. I'd like to plant flowers in them. So, and have them delivered. Tell them that you're blind, and they'll do that for you.
Okay, would that be seeds or would that be plants?
I would go ahead and do a plants. Okay, that's going to be the easiest.
That's what I really wanted to know.
Okay, no, I would do plants because seeds are going to take too long. And, you know, unfortunately, you might not be able to see if they don't make it or when they're coming up. And they may look like a weed and pull them because I pull weeds all the time, and sometimes I pull my plants. And
Thank you very much, Teresa. I'll enjoy your program.
Thank you so much, William. Take care, hon. Let us know how you do and what you buy.
I will do that.
All right, then. Thank you. Bye-bye. So if you'd like to have your questions answered, 1-888-455-2967 or text 23680. Brad in Gainesville. Good morning, Brad. He texted, he says he has Pensacola Bahia, and he wants to spread Argentina Bahia on top of it. Will it take over? And less Y seed would be nice. Understand completely, if you're putting down Bahia seed, you definitely want to use Argentina Bahia because it has less Y seeds. The Pensacola, you can mow it, and then 3 days later, the Y seeds are back up again. It looks like you need to mow it again. You don't really need to. It's just the seeds are so prolific. So, Brad, my question is, are you doing sod or are you doing seed? If you're doing seed, and it doesn't matter either way, it's not going to get rid of the Pensacola. it's just going to add more Argentina bahia grass to your soil. So it's not, it will not take over or get rid of the Pensacola. It's just going to be there. Now, if you wanted to use a herbicide and get rid of all your Pensacola and then put down your Argentina bahia seed, that would be less Y seeds. Okay. But it's not going to completely eradicate them if you just put the seed on top of it. All right. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. At an HOA, I am consulting, and they're wondering why their grass is declining. And the biggest reason is because of the rain and their irrigation. They have a large community. They have to water all night long sometimes with all the zones to get everybody irrigated in that time, and their grass is wet. And so one of the best turf advice I can give you is try not to mow your grass when wet. There's many reasons for this. I mean, the moisture on the grass blades weighs it down so that when your mower is going over the grass, your grass isn't getting hit at the right spot at the tips. It's getting hit in the middle, and it's kind of shredding it. You're going to have raggedy, torn edges. That's going to stress your grass out when it's being ripped instead of cut sharply, nicely. It's going to make it more vulnerable to pests. Also, too, it's going to increase the likelihood of scalping and leaving the lawn patchy and unsightly. And then also, too, the wet grass blades are more prone to tearing and evenly cut. So that's going to reduce your density over time. It's going to get sparse, which means that sometimes landscapers will lower their blades even more, and that's not going to be good either. It's also, too, mowing with the wet grass is going to promote fungal disease, like brown patch and dollar spot, depending on what time of the year it is. So what should you do? Well, when you have that heavy equipment on your turf, the soil can get compacted, and it's going to leave areas where it's going to just get very sparse. You want to mow when it is dry, if possible, and you want to make sure that you're doing it only as necessary, so only taking off a third of the grass at a time. So I'm going to be back with ways to do it. You can call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this morning is my top five summer-loving beach plants. If you would like to, if you live on the coast and you have salt water to deal with, these are my top five favorite plants. Bushy Seaside Oxeye. It is a highly salt tolerant, able to withstand short periods of drought and occasional salt water inundation. It's well suited to coastal restoration and landscaping, and works effectively as a border plant in mixed wildflower gardens and along retention ponds. Number two, a beach morning glory, is a trailing evergreen vine with showy white flowers that blooms summer and fall, and flowering may occur year-round. It's native to coastal dunes. It helps stabilize sand and tolerates drought and low-nutrient soils. Number three, Hercules Club. It's an aromatic, heavily thorned tree with a round crown, spreading branches, yellow flowers, and fruit. It's used as landscaping, especially in natural areas and restoration, and serves as a host plant for the giant swallowtail butterfly caterpillars. Number four, sea oats. Tall, spreading grasses that sway in coastal dunes and provide valuable habitat. Their flowers supply pollen for many insects, while their seeds feed beach mice, rabbits, and birds. Their deep, dense roots can reach 40 feet, anchor sand, and help dunes' habitats hold together. Number five, Carolina jessamine. It provides welcome winter color. It's among the first flowers to bloom in Florida. It appears in early January. Easy to grow on fences and walls and trellises. And it has moderately fast growing, and it can be controlled with pruning. Caveat, the Caroline jessamine is toxic to children and pets. Those are my five favorite beach, summer-loving, heat dune plants. So thank you very much for that. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great, hon. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, I know. I'm thinking of you all the time.
Okay, thank you. I think of you and Lucy all the time. Okay, that plant that I have in the backyard.
Yes.
You told me how to root it. I know the name of it now. It's B-U-D-D-L-E-J-A.
Buddleia.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It went right over my head. It lost my brain somehow on how to root it.
Okay.
So can you tell me how to do it again?
Yes, hon, I can. Very easy.
Okay.
So you want to take, so buddleia is a woody ornamental. Okay, so it's going to get very woody on the bottom, and mm-hmm. the branches can get woody. I want you to take some of the green, very flexible new stems, you know, 6 to 8, 10 inches long. You want to strip the bottom 3 or 4 inches of leaves, so you don't want any leaves under the in the soil. Cut it diagonally on the bottom.
Okay.
Cut diagonally on the bottom, and then you put it in soilless mix, potting soil.
Okay.
Put it in the shade. You want to put some plastic on it. I like to use the 2-gallon or the plastic laundry bags and put it in there and seal it up so the moisture stays in there. You want it to stay consistently moist, I would say, for 6 to 10 weeks, you know, through the summertime, keeping it in the shade. And if you want 1, I would do 3. If you want 3, I would do 10.
Okay?
And you may get all 10.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Let me know how you do.
Okay, I sure will.
All right. Appreciate you. All bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
And so if you have a question, we have just a few minutes left. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you'd like to see my beach sunflower or my summer loving beach plants, they're on the Facebook page of Better Lawns and Gardens. And you can follow us there and like us. Give us 5 stars. We really, really need it. Don't we, Lizzie?
We absolutely love that, 100%.
And so what should you be doing in your yard this month? Well, especially with the rain, you're going to want to walk your yards on a regular basis. This should be done all year round. It's good for you to get outside. It's good for you to walk, breathe in that fresh air. It doesn't need to be for a long time during the heat of the summertime. But walk your yards, look at your shrubs, lift up the leaves, look at the leaves, and just notice any spots, any yellow areas in your turf, any areas starting to decline. That's very, very important. Fertilizing time is over. Most of the state of Florida has fertilizing restrictions now through October 1st. If you need your landscape to green up, use a iron-only product. That is legal. You can use an iron-only product, and it will green it up without telling it to grow. You want to make sure that if you have an irrigation system, in-ground irrigation system, that you check it monthly, adjust it. If your irrigation system is going on when we're getting this rain, even if it's only rained one time or just a couple of hours in the morning, you want to check and make sure your rain shutoff device is working, whether it needs to be reinstalled, repaired. You're not going to repair it, but a new one will cost you $40. It's literally going to save you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year on your water bill. So you want to make sure you do that. Also, too, chinch bugs are an issue, and sod webworms. I'm walking through yards, and I'm seeing these moths come up. It's very, very important that you, again, when you're walking through your yard, look down, see these moths. If you see them, you want to wait about 2 weeks And here during the month of June, you can use a product called Merit. And it's an imidacloprid, and it can be applied in June, and it will take care of those sod webworms and also chinch bugs. You want to cut your turf at the right height, 3 to 4 inches high. Scalping is not good. If you're going away on vacation, if you can't get somebody to mow it while you're gone, if you're gone for a long period of time, then just take off just a little bit of it, and then when you come back, mow it again. Do not scalp it low before you go on vacation. Also, if you are taking care of your container plants and gardens, especially William, you want to make sure that you're getting water to your pot every day. So, William, when you're checking your plants for water, if it needs to be watered, stick your finger in the pot, go down to your second knuckle. If the potting soil, if the ground is wet, cool, or damp, you do not need to water it again. Okay, overwatering. Containers may need, especially if they're clay, watering every day during the summertime. But they're clay, and they're going to evaporate very quickly. They're going to heat up very quickly. If it's plastic 5-gallon buckets, it's not going to evaporate as quickly, and you may not need to do it every day, especially if you're getting rain. Vegetables, you want to make sure that you're fertilizing monthly with your vegetables. Slow-release product, you can use every 3 to 4 weeks. Then also to get your seeds now for August. If you wait until August to buy your seeds, you may not get what you want. So check the catalogs, check the online. Order your seeds now for your fall vegetable garden. Sweet potatoes, if you love sweet potatoes, and my dad loves sweet potatoes, and I love them. I love them with maple syrup.
Ooh, my sweet potatoes, they are vining like they've never vined in their entire life. They are loving the fence line that I planted them on.
Good. So that's so good to hear.
It's very interesting for sure. So,
oh, excellent. You want to hand pull weeds now. You do not want to use an herbicide right now. It's very important that, you know, on the label it says do not use in temperatures over 85 degrees. Well, that's all summer for Florida. Okay, so using an herbicide, you're risking killing your grass and not the weed. The weed may survive and come back because the temperatures are too hot. So hand pull weeds now to prevent pest problems for fall. You don't want them to go to fruiting and, you know, flowering. That's gonna spread more seeds. You want to prune your blueberries right now. And your blackberries, you can prune those, reshape them if they have grown a little too big, which is wonderful because you get more blueberries that way. You want to feed your bananas monthly, and you want to harvest the banana fruit, which is called the stalks, which are called the hand, when they start to turn yellow. Okay, so if you've got bananas growing and they're starting to turn yellow, you can go ahead and cut them off and just put them in a cool corner for when to ripen. You want to feed your pineapples right now with slow-release fertilizer and also your citrus trees right now. We're going to be back with Heather Stickney. She's the National Sales Director for Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. She's got answers for us and all the science behind mosquito bites. We're going to be right back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.